We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, brought to you by EMP180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. EMP180weightloss.com. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cake Sauville, and Eric Bickle. That's the foursome joining us today at 8:40 for the morning skates. Our pal Jay Beagle from the Washington Capitals, but joining us right now, the host of Pullen and Levero. You can listen to him Saturday mornings, 9 a.m., he's at spring training. It's our buddy Tom Levero. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Hello, Tom.
How's spring training going thus far?
Oh, you don't really want to know, do you, personally? I mean, you don't want to hear it, do you?
Sure, why not?
Well, what, it's 80 degrees and sunny every day.
Otherwise, we could just hang up on you. I mean, isn't that why we're having you on?
I know, but I mean, you know, I know how difficult it's been up there for everybody, and it's like Lert said, 80 degrees and sunny.
That's awesome.
How long have you been down there?
Well, this is my second tour down here. I was down here last month when they camp open for about 9 days, and now I'm back down for about a week's worth of games.
Very nice. So, very nice. So what are we thinking of the stadium? We haven't been there yet. Do we like this?
Yeah, it's a nice stadium. I wrote about this the other day. You know, for Nats fans, it's not a better deal than Space Coast Stadium. Mm-hmm. For one thing, it's a couple of hours farther. If some people drove, and you could have made it in a day probably from Washington to Vieira. So it's a couple hours farther, and it's a lot more expensive. Hotels, everything in West Palm Beach, a lot more expensive in Vieira,
right.
Cocoa Beach. But for the Nats themselves, they've got a great facility. That's close to about a half a dozen baseball teams that they don't have to deal with a lot of long bus rides.
Right.
And they love it. And if the purpose is to improve the baseball team, it's a great deal. And it's a great place to watch a game, too. I mean, they had pretty good crowds the last 2 days there.
Did you get to see the maybe you weren't there for this, but did you get to see the Scherzer-Tebow showdown? All 45 seconds
yes,
of it?
Yes, I did.
You did?
Yes, I did.
What was that like?
I was there for that. It was funny because it was like in the second inning, and it finally woke up the crowd, and they got pretty excited at the sight of Tebow coming up. It shows you what a circus act it is. But, you know, you could tell that Scherzer had pretty much contempt for him. I mean, he moved. Really? He worked so quick, and he did his typical storming off the mound after striking him out. And he
in
said
spring
after
training.
The game,
like it was the postseason, yeah, right?
Yeah. And he said after the game that the crowd, you know, cheering kind of got his adrenaline flowing.
Right.
You know, the people getting excited about Tim Tebow coming up. So it was quite the spectacle. It was the spectacle they deserved.
Right. I got to say, I didn't pay any attention to spring training numbers. I don't know who's getting shelled and who's not. Tell me about our top guys. Tell me about Gio. Tell me about Strauss. Tell me about Max. Are they basically, you know, spring training form? Sounds like Max had a great outing. Is that pretty much how he's looked so far? What about the other guys?
Yeah, Max looked like he could start opening day. The first bullpen session he threw down here.
Wow.
I mean, it was almost a legendary bullpen session. The coaching staff was in awe,
right,
of how hard he was throwing, how pinpoint his accuracy was. He could start opening day tomorrow. Strasburg and his start on Saturday, the same way. Didn't look as great as Max, but looked pretty good, throwing 97, Oof. 98 miles an hour, putting the ball where he wanted to. So those two guys look like they're ready to go. Gio got hit hard yesterday. Early in the game, in the three innings that he pitched. Now, you know, Dave Martinez, the manager, said that he was working on some new pitches, and you don't know if that's true or not. You hear that a lot, and it may be true, because that's one of the things pitchers do down here, is maybe try to get better control of a particular pitch that they'd like to add. But he didn't have any walks, And that's always his burden, is control mm-hmm. and having any walks. So that if you're looking for a good sign, three innings, no walks for Gio yesterday, nice. But he gave up about six hits.
All right, so Jake Arrieta hasn't been signed by anybody yet, and you know he probably Boris probably wants a little bit too much money for his age. But you're hearing these reports that Rizzo's still talking to him. You know, who knows? I mean, I know that the Phillies are involved, the Brewers are interested. There's a handful of teams that really like Arrieta at the right price. But do you feel like it's a possibility, maybe even a strong possibility, that Rizzo steals him here in the next week and a half?
I feel it's a strong possibility.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the issue is years of service more than money.
Right.
I think they want 6 or 7 years, Boris does. And I don't think the Nats want to commit to that. Although the way the Learners do business, they could assign him to a deferred contract and not pay him till the 22nd century. but I think he's going to wind up here. I mean, this is the Boris store, as they like to say down here. And, you know, the purpose of signing Jake Arrieta is not April, May, June, July. It's mm-hmm. October. Who do you want pitching in game three in October for you? Do you want Gio again, or do you want Jake Arrieta? I think that's pretty easy to answer. You want Arrieta, and this is all about October. As far as the money, he may cost, you know, a lot of money for like 3 or 4 years, but the Nats have a lot of money coming off the books next year, particularly if you believe Bryce Harper's not going to be here. They'll be down about $70 million in payroll. That'll be walking away at the end of this season. So money shouldn't be an issue moving forward for signing Arrieta. I just think it's arguing about years of service.
So when do you think it happens?
Well, it better happen soon. I mean, yeah, I think it would happen within the next week. I still think it is going to happen. Look, I might be wrong, but you know, they turned down an offer from the Cubs, the same Cub offer that they gave you, Darvish. I don't think Boris would have done that if he wasn't confident that his pal Ted Lerner was going to come through for him.
We asked Dan Colco this, I think it was last week, because, you know, been another manager change here. And every time there is, you know, hope springs eternal. Everybody's happy. This guy's got more attention to detail. This was more in analytics. The guys are looser, whatever. Can you notice any different vibe with Dave Martinez there versus Dusty?
At the same point, no. I think it's kind of manufactured. This notion that, you know, that playing music at the workouts has made a big difference. You know, I mean, he's not Dick Clark. I mean, the music really doesn't have any impact at all. And it's not like the Nats were uptight under Dusty.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, they made a big deal about Davey getting to know his players and really caring about them. Well, nobody did that better than Dusty. Mm-hmm. He talked to everybody in the clubhouse. So I don't really notice a particular difference. It would be hard-pressed for a manager not to take this team to 90-plus wins this year. That's how good they're going to be. I don't foresee anything changing that. And again, they've become the Caps in the sense that we're not going to know if they're any different until they're in the playoffs. So we're not going to know anything about Dave Martinez, unless he's a total disaster,
right,
until October.
Are you buying into this hype? Because I am, because I'm stupid. That Kevin Long is the real deal, and he's going to make a difference with some of our guys. The new hitting coach.
I mean, there's some guys that swear by him. I mean, Daniel Murphy's mm-hmm. career, he attributes to Kevin Long. But I'm very skeptical of these coaches as guru things. I mean, because one thing, the Mets let him go. I mean, if he's such a genius, why wouldn't they do everything they could to keep him? Now, I know they change managers, and new managers like to pick guys on their own coaching staff, but that mm-hmm. happens less and less. So if he's a genius, the Mets let him go. And look, Mike Maddox was the pitching version of this here in Washington, a pitching coach guru who did wonders with pitching staffs. And the Nats let him go, too. So, I mean, I think he's a good hitting coach. Is he a game changer? I don't think so.
Hey, so what is the locker room or the clubhouse like without Worth now? Because, you know, I know Bryce was tight with Worth. But, you know, we never really had to deal with Worth. You got, you know, all the beat guys had to. And I know that he was tough to get along with, tough to talk to. Do you get the sense it's more relaxing without him, or are they missing something with him being gone?
You know, they seemed, personally, a couple of guys really seemed to miss him, guys like Bryce and others. I don't really notice any there. It's a quiet clubhouse. And Jason Worth, while he had an edge dealing with reporters, he wasn't a particularly intense, hard-edged guy. He wasn't a loud voice in the clubhouse. He was influential, but not a loud voice. And the Nets, they still have a problem with this. They're a laid-back, quiet team, and they could use a few more troublemakers. And, you know, I hate to bring up this name because it'll you know, it's blood-curdling. But they could use a few more Jonathan Papelbons. A little bit of lunacy, a little bit of craziness, a lot of attitude. They don't have enough of that. I think Mike Rizzo was hoping Adam Eaton was going to be that guy, but we didn't get a chance to see it last year because he got hurt so early. So with him, you know, playing every day now, you know, being healthy, maybe that'll help a little bit. But that's Worth will be missed personally. I don't notice it that much in the clubhouse at all. It's still a quiet, laid-back clubhouse.
Tom, give me a quick review on the Palm Beach Kennel Club. I've been doing some research. They do have a poker room, and I think it's a stone's throw from the ballpark.
Well, it's right next to the airport, so you can't miss it when you're flying in. You fly right over it. You know, I'd like to tell you something about the poker room, but I spent all my time with the dogs at the track. In fact,
nice.
I took my wife and my son there Saturday night. It was family night at the dog track for the Liveros.
Nice.
Saturday night. And they took all the money from me that I took from them the last time I was up.
Very nice.
Here's a good thing, too. I mean, when you're in West Palm Beach, I haven't been there in years, but, I mean, your eating options and drinking options, I mean, you got whatever you want there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've eaten in a lot of tremendous places down here, a lot of good places by the water, and I could recommend a few to you before you guys get down here. Went to one last night called the Old Key Lime Inn specializes in key lime pie. Oh. Beautiful place on the water.
Ooh, JP's interested.
I love key lime pie.
Who doesn't love that? JP loves dessert.
I like peanut butter and chocolate.
Are you going to be down there when we're there? We're going to be there the 19th to the 21st. You still down there?
No, sorry, guys. I wish I was there with you.
All right.
Yeah, we'll talk to CK.
TripAdvisor Tom. We appreciate it. All right, it's Tom.
Thank
Rivero.
You, Tom. Appreciate
Thank
it, buddy.
Thank you for joining us. He joined us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Yeah, 2 weeks from now, we'll be there. Yep. Although, we don't have the flight information. We have the hotel information.
That's fine.
I don't have to worry about that.
Hey, we're not staying at a crime scene hotel. That's all the information that I need.
It's all on the name, it is.
It'll be decent.
We have no idea.
It should be nice.
I think it'll be decent, and we'll be in and out. What, two nights?
Two nights.
Two nights? Perfect. That's the perfect trip.
I get
Jay Beagle from the Washington
Hotel Bar. You need a nice hotel bar, though.
Jay Beagle is going to join us coming up at 8:40, and Pete Gillen, former UVA coach, will join us at 9 as we talk some March Madness here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We got the Morning Skate with Jay Beagle at 8:40. Pete Gillen, former UVA coach, joins us at 9 as we talk some March Madness. Also, we have a couple great prizes to give away. We'll do it at 9:45. We have tickets to go see the Wiz take on the Minnesota Timberwolves March 13th. So that is next week. And tickets to go see Jim Belushi at the Hamilton live on March 7th. That's coming up in a couple of days. We have 2 pair of tickets to give away to go see Jim Belushi.
Valdez, did you add my songs to the computer system?
New ones in the mix?
I did not.
All right. Yeah, I think I gave you three.
Is that will he ever do it, or is that his passive aggressive way?
No, I will.
I think it just takes time to do it.
Right.
Well, Mondays are kind of busy. Plus, I'm pulling all the Oscar stuff.
Right.
Do we even care about the Oscars? We already determined it was a big dud.
Yeah, but we should talk about it at some point, right?
We did. That's what we kept him for.
We're done with it.
All right, do we want to do the story here about women into one-night stands?
I do think it's interesting.
Let me guess. It came from Maxim.
Nope, New York Post.
What? New York Post. Pretty close.
It's one of the two,
KK. I only want to do the story if women will call and tell us about their one-night stands.
Okay. They can contribute.
Yes.
We're asking you to help contribute to the conversation.
Yeah. That would make it really interesting.
I'll push it along.
So I'm just going to read to you the story, and then you comment as you wish.
By the way, I believe the study was from the Norwegian University of Science and Technology.
That's really a thing.
That might be a real thing. Why are you joning? You don't know anything about that.
Is that nuts?
No, nuts.
Technology.
Nuts, Rick. All right. You're so horny.
You almost pulled off a good acronym.
All right. Women are happy, apparently, with one-night stands as long... There are conditions here, Skate.
Conditions.
As long
okay.
as they made the first move, and B, this is what ruins it for you, AWOD, and B, they enjoyed the sex.
A study got to deliver.
Well, isn't that a given?
A study of 763 people also found females are more likely to regret sleeping with someone too soon, while men are likely to regret passing up the opportunity to sleep with someone soon.
Of course.
Men care less
about the quality.
Do you think women talk about drop balls? Like, guys always talk about the ones that got away, whether it's cakes in a hot tub.
Yeah, what do you
I've got drop balls.
Yeah. Like, everybody's got them on the resume.
Women talk about the hot tubs. Like, I could have got smashed that night, but I just made out.
I doubt it.
Yeah, because if they're just making out and want anything to happen, it's going to get to the next level.
Because the guy usually make the awkward move and then wait for the hockey. You wait for the defense, right? You wait for the goalie. You wait for the Heisman.
Yeah, sure.
That's usually what, right? That's usually
she has to signal no. So you just keep going.
Isn't that how most encounters end? The girl tells you no. Or it happens.
Yeah.
That's usually how it goes.
I don't know. Yeah. Ask AWOD.
Yeah. You never round first base, round second base, round third base. I'll just hold off right here.
Psychologists at the Norwegian University of Science and Technology said both genders are prone to regrets if the sex is bad or if the partner, like AWOD, is sexually incompetent.
I get it, but isn't that already a given? If the sex is bad, why would they enjoy it?
Yeah.
But see, for men, they don't care. Because men, here's the thing, here's the key to it. Men are more likely to run their race during an encounter, which cancels out the unpleasant feelings of guilt and shame that women get because it's awful usually for them. And it's like, well, it's not worth it.
Right. So I would think that it's a given that women are going to enjoy it more if the sex is good.
Correct.
If the sex sucks,
you have a better shot at it.
They're never going to enjoy it.
Here's right, but the sex hear. For women probably is often terrible.
Here's what I want to hear.
Yeah, maybe.
You can call us on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Listener Lines at 800-636-1067.
I challenge you girls to call us.
Here's what
just
I want
call
to
call us and tell us about your one-night stand
Do women ever go
I'm
out
not asking
and say,
for a lot.
Do women ever go out and say, I'm getting laid tonight? They have a pact like, it's going to happen.
I think there are some freaks out there that do think that way. 100%. I think
so.
I think they're in the minority.
They go out there with the intent of having a one night
stand. Like a single woman?
Yes.
For sure. I think
so. Because guys always go out with that intent if they can pull it off.
Right. AWOD goes out with that intent.
Guys are animals.
Literally every night.
Hey, well, when I was in college and I was single and I was going to the bars, what was the intent? Sure, to get wasted with my buddies, but if you could get lucky, of course you were happy. But I don't think that women really go out with that intent.
Well, not all of them, but there are women that go out with that intent. Absolutely. You think it's universal that all women go out and say, there's no way I'm going to have a one-night stand tonight? There's a percentage. Absolutely.
It's a low percentage.
There's sluts all over the place.
One-night stand? No.
Are you kidding me?
Put that on a T-shirt. I like it.
That may happen, but it's after a few drinks, then the intent may change.
Yeah, you never know. We would know more if girls would call us.
Yeah, that's the challenge, is having the women call us at 800-636-1067.
You know how you hear that myth that men think about sex every 7 seconds? Like, that's definitely not possible, right? No. It's not true. But
for Jason, it's every 7 months.
Yeah, every seven years. But
it used to be every 7 seconds.
There is some research that the Kinsey Institute did where they asked men and women how often they think about sex. 54% of men said they think about sex several times a day, except for Lurch. 43% responded a few times per week or just a few times per month. 4% said less than once a month. But basically, more than half of men said more than half. So that means three out of the six of us in here, AWA doesn't count, think about it many times a day, multiple times per day. Meanwhile, 19% of women said they think about it every day or several times a day. 19.
All right,
dramatic
five.
Drop off. Yeah. Dramatic.
Mm. They just don't get sized.
67% said they think about it a couple times per week or a couple times a month.
That's it?
67% of women said they think about it a couple times a week or a couple times a month. Meanwhile, men think about it, over half think about it several times a day. Dramatic drop-off.
I'm trying to wonder what the definition is, though. I'm just thinking of something from earlier in the show. So Drab talked about seeing these hot ring girls, right? And then there was discussion of the ring girls and pictures of the ring girls. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know that I went and looked at a picture of a ring girl. I don't know that I thought about having sex, but would that count?
Like, I didn't think of the act.
100% that's what Drab T-shirt was thinking about when he was looking
at
them
some point,
thong. But I didn't think of the act.
I think at some point he thought about the act.
100%
somehow.
He thought of the act. Some sort of act that he wanted to perform.
Hmm.
As Jason was saying, naughty
you know what I'm
act.
Saying? Like, I'm watching I watched.
Felonious.
I watched a little of the red carpet yesterday, like very little, like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I watched probably a half
right
hour.
Before the Oscars with my wife. And I
so awkward.
I noted that Nicole Kidman, she looked like a stick figure. Did you see her?
I didn't. I missed her.
I mean, she looks so. She must have been wearing a corset or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I missed her.
I don't know if I thought of the act, but sometimes I'll just appreciate the looks.
Well, here you go. Ohio State University, they did their own study. Okay. Now, this was with younger guys. So this is people in Adam's age range, 18 to 25. But that's just who they, you know, they studied, college campus.
He's right. About to get out of that.
Yeah, they studied JT Barrett.
They averaged how many times the average man and woman thought about sex, food, and sleep, okay? The average man thought about sex 19 sexy thoughts a day. So 19 times, that's at least once every one hour.
So what are they doing? Are they logging every time they think about it?
I guess. I didn't read how they did the study.
I mean, that's got to be butt hard to do.
All right, but they did the study. Ohio State University, they did the study.
I think this would be butt funny. We should each commit like a diary. Not on the show. Just for 24 hours.
Just for a day.
Like we each commit. Can we do it during the show? Can you each give us four bells? Hours. And every time you think about buns, hit the bell.
Right.
Hey, I'm dying to do that.
All right.
Can we do that?
That?
Can we get
that.
Four bells?
You got to get four bells.
Four bells.
We'll do it Friday. Let's do it Friday.
Every time you think about buns, hit the bell.
But hold on. Is that thinking about buns? Hold on.
You don't have to explain. You just. Sorry, just thought about that.
Is that thinking about buns with your wife or with someone?
You don't have to explain.
Just buns in general.
Just buns. The thought of buns, you hit the bell.
No explanation.
All right, hold on.
Dude, I want to do that next
time. Can I have just...
Yeah, all right. You want a different bell?
Work with me.
Yeah.
I need two bells.
All right.
I need...
What for that other category you were talking about?
No. I need a bell. I need a bell to think about buns, and I need a bell to think about Moneyline parlays.
All right, you can have one. You can have two.
Can I have two?
You can have one for gambling and one for sex.
Right. One's going to go off all the time.
Yeah.
And the other one's not going to be Friday.
Right, that's the point.
That's going to be hysterical. I'm willing to do it tomorrow.
Yeah, but don't do it just for the bit. Don't just ding it every time just for the bit.
No, but what's going to happen is Cake starts thinking about buns, then I'm going to start thinking about buns. So he's going to hit his bell, then I'm going to hit my bell.
That's so creepy.
You know how many dong shots and picks I'm going to go put in your EP that day?
Right.
But the see, my original
give me
thought,
an extra bell for thinking about five-hour energy, too.
But if you commit to
because that's
going to
go off all the time on Friday.
If you committed to do it for 24 hours, though, that would be an interesting study. Like, if you came
well,
back.
Well, this is what they did.
And you had 17, and Cakes had 13.
And Jason had 2. two nub thoughts.
I'm pretty sure that I won't think about it at all during the show.
The average man tallies,
unless you ask me a question,
19 right. sexy thoughts a day. That's one every 1.26 hours, compared to women who reported thinking about sex basically half, 10 times in a day.
Hey, sexy.
So, you know, they have half the drive, basically.
Hey, sexy.
And those are the younger set.
18 to 25. Yeah, I'd imagine when it gets older, it gets worse.
Yeah, they're probably not thinking about it
now,
more.
Now, to compare that with other things on their mind, men counted thinking about food 18 times a day. So basically the same amount.
Cool. Yeah.
So every time they thought about buns, they thought about a sandwich or a hamburger.
Well, half of Jim Gaffigan's acts about
sleeping.
Eating. Hey, he's doing really well.
Yeah. Sleeping 11 times per day. For women, shocker, they thought about food, I guess, a third more than they did sex. 15 times a day they thought about food.
But less than men.
But less than men.
And
but
they're
more
probably
than
thinking
sex.
About diet.
And sleep 8.5 times.
What about money? How many times do guys think about money?
We would just need a buzz, like right. a constant.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like something you could just hold.
All right, so we'll do that
cakes
on Friday.
I actually think would outpace
you. Want, so you want to do that tomorrow? We'll do it Friday.
I'll do it anytime. What's the difference?
It's Friday.
Friday's a little more loosey-goosey.
Yeah, we don't care on Fridays.
I don't care on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. At this point in my life, I don't care anymore.
All right.
So I'll do it whenever you want. You guys just, whenever he acquires the bells.
How about we do it when the first female calls in to chime in about one night stands?
Look, I said that knowing that no girl would call.
Sure.
Every once in a while, if you move them, you can get them to call in. You say, generally, were you happy with your one night stand or were you unhappy?
I guess
unhappy?
The sluts don't listen to the show like they used to. The sluts always listen to the show back in the day. Yeah.
We used to have a rack of them.
Yes.
I guess in the morning we don't.
Yeah,
there's
nights.
A bunch of moms.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, they would just stop by the station.
All right, we'll go real quick.
Randomly.
Let's go to Kel.
Cakes, they would just stop by just to say hi.
Trust me, I know. I saw some of them.
Kel, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Junk? Y'all talking about my second favorite S word this morning. Listen, there are older women definitely think about getting a man. It's only two reasons they stay in the mirror as long as they do. Number one, to make the other women jealous. Number two, to look good for that young man or older gentleman that they plan on being with. They willy nilly with it. So it's kind of ironic to say, you know, that younger people think about it 19, 18 times a day or whatever, mm-hmm. younger men. But as a woman transition and she starts to get older, you better believe she think about getting her man when she go, especially if she doesn't have anyone.
Right. Well, didn't I read somewhere? I think we did it on the show. Thank you, Kel. Didn't I read it on the show that there was a study that said a woman's reported that their best sex of their lives happened at age 66?
Yes,
you got
that
to look,
story.
You got that to look for.
I think it
lurch.
Was older than that.
No, 66. I mean, don't get carried away. 66 is still a show.
It
66. Best sex of the life for a woman, 66.
That's why I don't believe any of these results of these studies.
You don't think that's true?
I would find it shocking.
Why? They figured out how to satisfy themselves.
It's 66. They don't care.
They got zippy energy.
They
just lay there.
It.
Just
they
lay
don't
there.
Care.
They can barely get out of bed.
They don't care.
Talking about.
You describing them or you?
All right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. Do we have Beegs? Oh, we can't continue this with Beegs. Beegs is reading the Bible. That's his new.
That's
his true. Book,
he's going to. He's going to read a lot of the Bible because they're taking off for Anaheim probably later today.
They are.
He's also winning basically every face-off.
Did he do that again?
I think he was.
Was he on fire again?
I might be making up the stats, like 13-1. Like, he was really good.
I thought the last time we had
Saturday
him on,
night.
He was like 75 or 80%.
Yeah. We're going to ask him. Saturday night, I think it was another absurd face-off night for Jay Beagle.
We got to ask him about the lights going out, too.
All right. Jay Beagle joins us next for the morning skate here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Joining us right now, as he does every week for the morning skates, our pal Jay Beagle. He joins us before the Caps depart for their West Coast road trip. Hey, Jay.
Good morning, guys.
So we were talking about Saturday night, and I was looking for the stats. I couldn't find it on the box score, but you dominated on the face-off again on Saturday night outdoors.
Hey, easy, JP. He only won 92.9% of his face-offs.
So there it is. Those are the stats. I couldn't find him. Cakes
he wasn't 100% or anything, JP. Come on.
Do you look at that on a box score after the game?
I didn't really see the box score either, actually. I don't know if they actually had them printed or, you know, sometimes the stat sheets come out, but I didn't see that. But you know, as a player, kind of when you win draws and when some are kind of 50-50, and I was feeling it again in that outdoor game. It was, I don't know, the last two games have been good. I've been winning them and kind of finding my timing a little bit, and the rules kind of changed a little bit in the last month, month and a half. So I'm just trying to kind of roll with that too. They're dropping the puck a little faster now, and it took a little bit to get that timing down.
Yeah, I know you've been involved in the outdoor games before, but talk about all the visuals, especially for us watching at home on TV. You know, the midshipmen surrounding the rink as you guys came out, the aircraft carrier surrounding the rink as well from the overhead shots, just really well done by the NHL and the Naval Academy. It seemed like everybody's working in concert to put on a great event there.
Yeah, no, it was. It was amazing. I think, you know, that as soon as we got there, just seeing how the rink was kind of sitting in the middle and just how the venue kind of was pretty cool. You know, that's a pretty special place to play. And, you know, with the seating the way it was a lot different than the past two outdoor games that we had. The fans seemed a little bit closer, and it was a pretty cool setup. It was unbelievably done, and it was a lot of fun. And the ice was in, you know, was great condition. So, it was a blast. We had a lot of fun.
Seemed like your teammate Burakovsky was unaware that there was going to be a flyover prior to the game. There were a bunch of screenshots on Twitter of him just looking terrified by the jet flyover.
Oh yeah. I didn't see that. Yeah, they had mentioned that it was going to happen. So maybe he missed the memo.
Yeah.
But that was pretty cool.
What was the wind like, by the way?
Yeah, the wind was a factor. You know, the first period it was in our back. So,
right.
It was only until we had switched sides where you could kind of feel it a little bit. It was only in gusts though. It was kind of swirling a little bit. And if a gust hits you, you kind of feel it. But you didn't really notice it too bad when you were on the ice. It was more when you were sitting on the bench.
Right.
But, it didn't play too much of a factor, I don't think. But you did notice it when, obviously, it was coming into your face.
Jay, this is kind of a weird question. It might be borderline stupid, but I feel like I have to ask it. Was it hard for you guys at points to actually see the Maple Leafs players? Because they were dressed basically helmet to skate. Well, their skates are black, but basically helmet all the way down to their socks, aside from a few little stripes of blue, in white. And it had to blend in with the boards and with the ice. Did that affect you guys at all during the game, or am I just an idiot?
You know, it didn't. But I never even really thought of that would. But it didn't really affect you. But everything's different about that game. Like everything, just even if the puck went a little higher than the boards, you would lose it right away, just in the stands and. It was just, you couldn't find it if it went any higher than the boards or any, you know, if it was bouncing or anything, it was hard to find. The glare off the ice was obviously different. And then, so their jerseys and their equipment, I never really thought of that, all white. I didn't notice that. There was so much other stuff that I was trying to focus on, you know, because it was a little bit different for just trying to track the puck. So, that didn't come up, I don't think. I don't think anyone really said anything about that.
What about the fan? Like, the fans, I'm always amazed. Like, you know, that stadium is kind of a smaller stadium, right? It's not a massive stadium by any stretch.
I think it holds, like, between 40 and 45,000.
And I was still amazed that the rink still looks small, in relation to the stadium. So the fans are further away. And I think, was that a different vibe, a different feel?
Yeah. No, it definitely does. It adds a way different feel. I think the previous two outdoor games that I played in, they were even further away. Mm-hmm. I mean, some fans were a little bit closer. At Nats Park, they were a little bit closer just because. But with a baseball diamond, it was really hard because a lot of the fans were, you know, really far back if just because the way the ice was placed. So I think all around, it felt like the fans were closer and tighter in just in that stadium. So I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, it was, you could definitely hear them. It wasn't such a delay. I remember at Nats Park, it was a delay. When you'd score, you could hear the fans, you know, like almost like a second later. And this one, the fans, it hits you, the sound hits you right away. So it seemed like they were closer to you.
Talking to Jay Beagle from the Washington Capitals. Ovi scores again. He's two away from 600. He's sitting at 598. Became the sixth player in NHL history to have nine or more 40-goal seasons when he scored against the Maple Leafs. Super impressive, and the fact that he's doing it in an era where scoring is down in the NHL. He's about to break into that 600-goal plateau, and he's doing it in where it's a tougher era for goal scorers like him to find the back of the net. It's hugely impressive.
Yeah, no, it is. It's you know, it is impressive. That's, I mean, it's been special to be a part of it. Special to you know, to watch him and to see you know, him and the way he can just continue to find ways to put up goals and put up assists. And the numbers he does is amazing. And I think I have assists on maybe two of his, so that's pretty special too. I'm taking credit for at least two of those goals.
As you should, too. You definitely should. So, Jay, now you guys focus on the road trip. You guys have Anaheim, the Kings, and the Sharks. All three of those teams in playoff contention. Anaheim's third in the Pacific. The Sharks are second, and the Kings are the first wild card. So this is gonna be a tough West Coast road trip. That start, I believe, it's Tuesday night is the first game against the Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, this is an important trip for us. I mean, leading up to, you know, the outdoor game, there's always a lot of hype, and we're excited for it as well and everything. So now that's over. We got, you know, we had 2 days here, a day off yesterday, and then a practice day and travel. And then, yeah, we get to it again tomorrow against Anaheim. So it's going to be an important trip for us. It's good to play against teams that are in the playoff hunt and kind of have that playoff mentality. And, you know, it'll be a good kind of test for us. Obviously, you know, three really good teams that we don't see that much. So that's also exciting. And yeah, we just got to make sure we start with a win in Anaheim tomorrow and go from there.
Jay, I feel like we don't talk about Cousy enough. He's playing really well, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's playing unbelievable. You know, a huge signing for us this summer and a great player. And, yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think just with the stars that we have on this team, sometimes he gets kind of, you know, caught in the mix. But a guy who really has been playing, since he's come here for us, has played unbelievable and is a real talent. He's a real special player and playing great for us this season, which we need.
Jay, how's it working, the new guys into the mix, Jarabek and Kempney, the new additions that came in close to the trade deadline?
Right. Yeah, no, it's really good. Both really good guys. You know, when you get new guys in, we have a good core group that, you know, is really tight. So it's always, I felt that when new guys come in, we've always been real accepting and just, you know, we try and make it like a family and try and make it as easy on them as possible with the transition. And both have come in and played really well. Are just good guys and easy to hang out with and good guys to have in the locker room. So it's been great.
Jay, it gets easy next week, buddy, when you get back from the roadie, because you get the Islanders back-to-back, and they are poo.
Got a feast on them.
They are awful.
Yeah. Well,
so it gets better.
Yeah, you don't want – yeah, exactly. Yeah, but you don't want – you never want to take any team
– I get it.
Take easy on them. But, yeah, we got to make sure this road trip that we play our game and we make sure that we're building for playoffs here. So it'll
be
good.
All right, Jay, they're telling us you got a meeting, so we don't want you to get late, get fined or anything. That'd be terrible.
Hey, I appreciate that, guys. Thanks. Right.
Yep.
Thank you, buddy.
Beagle, he joined us on the Mattress Warehouse hotline for the morning skate.
The Islanders have lost 12 of their last 16 games.
Oof. I hope you're profiting off of their demise.
A couple times.
I believe the Caps have 17 left.
Getting closer, man.
See, the Caps, I don't know what their record is.
Sounds yeah, they played 37-21-7.
They're 65 in.
And they're still holding on to the lead in the Metro.
2-point lead over Philly, 3 on Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but both of those teams have played one more game than the Caps.
Caps have a game in hand.
Which I like.
Are we out of the goalie controversy hump, you think?
I thought Braden Holtby looked good on Saturday night against the Leafs, even though the commentators were killing him early in the game.
Uh-huh.
They thought he looked like sluggish and just kind of almost like not into the game, but I think as the game advanced, he turned it on. Made some nice glove saves in that game.
I don't think there's a true controversy.
I think it could happen pretty quickly.
Like if Grubauer had won 10 in a row and he's lost 10
I don't think
in
it
row,
would take that many. I think you could probably – 3 or 4 duds.
I think it was at 6 in a row. Yeah. Losses for Holtby.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. 3 or 4 more duds, and I think you'd have a full-blown controversy.
Well, that's getting me to 10.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I thought you meant 10 new ones.
No. No. It was at 6 if you get to, like, 10.
3 or 4 more duds, I think you have a controversy.
All right, we're going to talk some college hoops next, right?
That's right, with Pete Gillen.
He is an awesome hoops guest.
He is great.
That's very
He's
good.
He's actually great.
Pete Gillen has been awesome. He hadn't coached in probably, what, 12, 13 years.
I would have bet $1 million he would have gotten back in.
Yeah. And you know what else he likes? He likes 5-Hour Energy.
He does. I didn't know that.
Everybody
about
loves 5-Hour
Coach energy. Gillen.
So we'll talk to Pete Gillen next. Talk a little college hoops.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.